Welcome to Slaking Thirsts, a podcast that's all about bringing the thirst deep within our hearts for love and communion to the heart of Christ, a divine heart, who is seeking our love and communion in return. The hope is that the two thirsts would meet and both thirsts would be slaked.
One of the reasons I love the 10:30 Mass, I mean, there's just nothing cuter than that procession of the children's liturgy that's down the aisle. Isn't that the best? It is just so cute. I know I have to because I'm the priest, but I would love to like go like, hey guys, what are you doing down here? I have to stay up here. Okay, all right, now I got to preach. All right, so two particular lines from scriptures that we have this weekend grab my attention, and I want to just kind of use these as a jumping off point. So in our first reading this weekend from the Acts of the Apostles, we heard this, that when Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. And then in the Gospel of Jesus, he gives us the beautiful vine and the branches. I'm the true vine, you're the branches. That whole beautiful parable that we all know. But he ends the parable by saying, by adding this, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Disciples. So I present us this weekend an opportunity to reflect on the theme of discipleship. That's what I want to do. That's where the Lord drew me. The theme of discipleship. What does it mean to be a disciple? What is discipleship? What does it mean to bear fruit in the world, right? So that's what I want to reflect on. And specifically, I want to reflect on and share a little bit more the vision for how we've been seeking to disciple our young people here at Sacred Heart. And today I want to just highlight, in particular, the Vine, which is our middle school youth group. Heard of the Vine here at Sacred Heart? Okay. The Vine is our middle school youth group, 5th through 8th grade. And the name for the Vine came from this gospel, right? We wanted our young people to be invited into that posture of remaining in Jesus, abiding in Jesus, this recognition that apart from him, we can do nothing. So let me just add this caveat at the outset. I know we have amazing ministries at Sacred Heart, so I don't want anyone to feel slighted that I'm just spotlighting one of them. So don't email, you only talked about that one. I know, okay? I know. I just want to spotlight this one for today. Let me first take you back, though, to September of 2020. So I arrived on August 4th, 2020. It was about a month assignment here that I never really had a Sacred Heart really before coming to Sacred Heart. And so I spent a good amount of time reading about delving into the devotion of the Sacred Heart and the Sacred Heart imagery. All these things really started emerging in my prayer, this fiery inferno kind of imagery, which it was a little bit scary at first. But sitting there asking Jesus, why is your heart on fire? Why is your heart on fire? Why is it aflame? And his response was, because it is filled with desire. It is filled with desire. And I would ask, what is your desire? And his response out of Luke's gospel, I came to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it were already blazing. That's the desire in the heart of the Lord. He wants to cast fire, not a destroying fire, not a destructive fire, but the kind of fire that magnifies, that illuminates, that elevates. It's the passion of love. He wants the love that is the Trinity to be cast upon the earth. Like any saint mystic that's seen the Sacred Heart, all that they can stammer is the same thing. They say, it's ablaze. It is ablaze. Like Jesus' desire is to see his bride, the church, and individual members in the church, you and me, to see us ablaze, filled with, pregnant with, the fire that rages in his own heart, that we would also be filled with his love, his joy, his peace, his purpose, his mission, his mindset. Like he wants us ablaze, right? He wants us. That's his desire for this parish. That's his desire for every parish. That's his desire for the entire church. For a new Pentecost to be unleashed, that the fire that is here, that it would be fanned into a bigger and bigger flame. That's what Sacred Heart exists to do. Like, that's why this parish exists. The Sacred Heart of Jesus parish exists to offer every single person who comes into these doors a life-changing encounter with the Lord, to catch fire, to encounter that flame. Why we exist. And secondly, to be the community, context within which to grow and to be formed as disciples. In other words, for the flame that's now there, present in our, that flame to be fanned bigger and bigger, hotter and hotter, and then to empower and equip all those who are here to bring the gospel into the world, that to give us the confidence, to give you the confidence and the boldness to go out to find other people and to be the catalyst through which, by which, that fire of Jesus' heart would reach them. Right? So we exist to be a place for encounter, a place for growth, and a place for mission. That's why this exists, for those three purposes, right? Like, and more than anything, like, I desire to see revival in the church, right? To see revival in the parish, just, gosh, yeah, more than anything. And here's the thing about revival, renewal, like real renewal in the church, it never comes about as a result of like a committee meeting. Committees are from the devil, okay? It doesn't come about through a committee. It doesn't come about, we're going to do this program. It doesn't come about through ministries or programs. It comes about through saints. If you look at the history of the church, the people who are the catalyst for renewal are saints. And what is a saint? A saint is a person, a man or woman, child, who has been touched and engulfed with the fire of Christ's love. That's what the saints are. Real renewal in the church happens. Real renewal happens when people encounter the living Jesus in a life-transforming way and then make the decision to adhere their life, to adhere humanity to the lordship of Jesus. They decide to follow him. None of us follow him perfectly. That's not what counts. What counts is the decision. I've made the decision of my life to the lordship of Jesus. Like, it's what happened to Saul in the first reading we have. That's what happened to him. On the road to Damascus, we hear this, that he had seen the Lord. So he had encountered and been encountered by the Lord, right? The Lord Jesus broke into his life. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting? Who are you, sir? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Get off, right? No, I paraphrase. It said he had seen the Lord and that he had spoken to him. He had engaged him. He had developed a relationship. And then how in Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. They had made the decision to submit his life to the lordship of Jesus. Like, that's what happened to Saul. Principles that has shaped my heart, that has shaped my understanding of just church and what we're like, what has shaped the in particular of the vine, what we do here for our middle schoolers, are these words from Pope Benedict. And I know I've shared this before, but it bears repeating. Pope Benedict XVI. Being a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea, but the result of an encounter with a person who gives life a new and decisive horizon and direction. That's what being a Christian is. It's the result of an encounter with a person and humanity. It is the kind of life that generated after having encountered this person. Right, a Christian is someone who has met him, and Christianity is the life created in me and amongst us after having encountered him. That's what it is. That's what Christianity is. Like, that's what the church. Church is not about membership. It's about relationship. Like, we can have a lot of sacramentalized Catholics, people who, because of their sacraments, yes, they're into the church, who strangely are not yet disciples, yet Christians, because they've not yet met him. You can have sacramentalized and non-evangelized Catholics. That's the problem. That's the problem. Christianity is a result of meeting him, relationship with him, which begins with meeting him, which begins with being overwhelmed real presence and his real love, not for us, but for that he sees me and knows me and has chosen me and has plans for me and has a heart for me and wants to dialogue with me. Like, Jesus, the real person, showed up in my life. He entered my story and now is a presence in my story in a wholly different way than he was before he got there. Like, that's what a Christian is. And that's why evangelization, all of our evangelization efforts, they must be about the person of Jesus, not about telling someone information about Jesus. Amassing enough information about the person will never amount to knowing the person. Ever. Gathering enough does not mean ever that you know them. Knowing about and person are radically different things. They're radically different things. That's why evangelization must be about creating spaces, creating opportunities where an encounter person can take place. Evangelization really is about It's about creating room for hearts to meet him. It's not about I'm doing this to tell you this thing and now you're going to become one of us. It's about creating and eliciting a desire, a wonder, an attraction to create a space where someone can come and meet him. I mentioned this a moment ago, but in the church for several decades now, we've been trying to catechize young people who've not yet been evangelized. We've been trying to teach them about the faith where they've met the person at the center of the faith before their hearts have been activated. How's that working out for us? Is the answer. That's how that's working out. We've been trying to teach young people about Jesus before they've met him. We're trying to tell them in the face, you should care about this. You should care about the church. You should care about the sacraments. You should care about the Eucharist. You should care about confession. You should care about your getting confirmed. You should care about these church teachings. We're saying all of these things are so important before they've met the person, before they have had a life-changing encounter with his love, before their hearts have been activated. And that just doesn't work. It doesn't work. If you want your kid, for example, if you want your kid to fall in love with baseball, you don't sit down when he's 4 years old and start teaching him the ball. Like, all right, son, I'm going to teach you about the infield fly rule. We're going to teach you about, tagging up. Like, that doesn't work. If you want them to fall in love with the game, you buy him a hat, you buy him a little league glove, you say, we're going to go to a pro game. You let them encounter the game. You let them see the beauty. You let them see, to encounter and be encountered by the mystery and the grandeur of the whole thing. You expose them to it, right? That's what the vine has been doing for our young people at this parish, inviting them into the mystery. And they're not too young to be invited into the mystery. A fifth grader is not too young to be invited into the mystery. They're not too young to meet Jesus or to go to the depths there. They're not too young to be evangelized. You know who knows that? Is the culture. And the world knows that our young people are not too young to be evangelized. The culture in the world is throwing everything at them to evangelize them into a different gospel, a different worldview, a different proclamation of this is the good news. Self-liberation, self-determination, self-actualization. They're being evangelized, whether we know it or not. What we're seeking to do is to evangelize them before the culture has really made its headway, before it's really gotten a chance to sink its teeth into them. One of the things that we're really good at doing as the church, we're really good at is that people aren't asking. Especially kids. Like delving into topics that they just don't care about yet. And when we consistently do that, we eventually lose them. Like because the church, the faith, it's not mapped onto their experience. And whatever the church is, it becomes irrelevant. And then because we center, they're resenting all of this, we start forcing them into programs and into classes. We make things mandatory. Your attendance, they have to show up if you want to get this sacrament. It does not work. Because rules and rigorism without relationship leads to resentment. Rules and rigorism without relationship, without the foundation of relationship, it leads to resentment. So is there another way? And say yes. Okay, good. There is another way. It's the way of invitation. It's gentler. It's more human. It leaves a space for our freedom. It's the way of creating a for Jesus to show up and for Jesus to work on their hearts. That's really all the vine is. That's all it is. Like over the last 3 years, I have been utterly dumbfounded and amazed, absolutely amazed, and very often moved to tears seeing, 60, 70, 80, sometimes 90 or more of our kids, your grandkids, up to this every Monday night, showing up to the vine for games and silliness and snacks and stupidity and funness and all these things. I just said funness. They come, it's a blast, there's great music, there's all these young adult core members who help out, a lot of them are actually here right now. They hear some good preaching from Claire or me, they break off, it's incredible, just building relationships, real work of the vine, like all of that is preliminary stuff. That's not the real work. The real work of the vine is what happens the last half hour when all those kids, they come up from McMahon Hall and they all come into. It's an unbelievable thing to see 90 kids surrounding this altar. Ever bored on a Monday night, come up here around 8:15 and be prepared to cry. It's just totally dark in the church. The only light is the candlelight on. We process with the Blessed Sacrament of the chapel and put Jesus right on this altar. And it is unbelievable. It is unbelievable to watch them, all of these little branches, grafting themselves onto the vine himself. Like, I'm moved to tears most weeks seeing them see him sitting in stillness and sitting in silence, the beauty of the moment, and it's unreal. It's incredible to witness them entering into these and worship full voices, singing with their hearts, praying and responding to this God who's here among them, knows them, who desires their good. Like, I've watched them, many of our young people begin to walk the road of discipleship, actually becoming disciples. People who don't know just things about Jesus, but people who actually live in relationship with Jesus. That's a huge difference, right? He's the vine. We are the branches. Apart from him, we can do nothing. The invitation to remain in him, to abide in him, so that we are to hear the voice of the one who loves us more than anything, filling our hearts to send us out into the world to bear fruit, affecting the lives of people around us. Like, I know there are many of you at Mass today who could, you know, come up here and, if asked, give your own testimony of how your son, how your daughter, how your own grandson or daughter, like how their faith has affected or changed your family. I know that's true. We have people who into the church this year because the faith of their child, family on fire. That is a thing that has happened and is happening. Like, this unbelievable ministry, this unbelievable program, it's not about a program. It's about the person. It's about this person. It's about creating time and space and opportunity. Get them in front of him to simply let him do the work. We have the most amazing and dedicated team of young adult core members who help out with this week after week. They setting up the games, playing and being silly and entering small group conversation. And Claire Cordoni, who's our director of discipleship, she's been at the helm of this, and she's unbelievable. Like, if you want to keep seeing that fire spread and grow in this parish, figure out a way to support her and to support our youth groups, both Vine and 1010. Like, we need Barnabases, right? Barnabas, who presented Saul to the church as an advocate. We need advocates for all of this. Like, we all have the desire to see our church grow and to see the fire of Jesus' heart spread to younger and younger generations. Like, it's our job to pass the baton on, right? We all want to do this. Like, I have a burning desire to do this. And the craziest part is that, like, as much as I desire this, as much as we desire this, as big as my desires are, God's dreams and God's desires are bigger. Like, in that second reading from John, we hear this: God is greater than our hearts. God is greater than our hearts, which means he is greater than our desires. You dream big, bigger. I'm dreaming big, he's dreaming bigger. Friends, let's have the audacity to actually believe that. And let's beg the Lord of the harvest to fan into flame a new Pentecost at this parish.